This is a new audience. They haven't heard you before.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. A number of years ago, I guess it's been close to 5 years now, I'd been a Christian for some time and was devoted to daily Bible study and so on, and really had no interest in, I guess, the darker side of theology, things having to do with the occult or having to do with Satan and so on. And I tended to shy away from those issues. And one day I was just spending some fellowship time with friends over at their house, and as I was leaving, they handed me this video. And the name of the video was called Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age Revolution. And I was very skeptical about it just at a glance, and kind of didn't even want to watch it, but I thought, to be polite, well, let me watch a few minutes of it anyway. So I took it home, didn't think much of it, and decided to watch the first 10 or 15 minutes. I was on my way out the door, and sat down and watched the first 10 or 15 minutes, and the pastor came on, a guy named Joe Schimmel, who appears in our video. He came on, and he started talking about the New World Order. And he was talking about, he was mentioning various prophecies about how there are these demonic spirits who are gathering the world together into a one-world system, and that these things are prophesied in the Bible, and that it's happening at many different levels in our world today. And his presentation focused on how it's happening through the music industry, but he made it very clear that it's happening politically, it's happening, you know, through Hollywood and all of these various movements that are teaching this universal global theology. And so the 15 minutes that I thought I was going to watch turned into about 3.5 hours, and I sat and watched this whole presentation and was really impacted by it. Had no idea this kind of thing was going on. And that really was the spark that compelled me, and as I prayed and sought the Lord about it, just became very convicted that this was the work God wanted me to do.
Well, I'm certainly glad he did, because I think you've done a magnificent job, and we'll be talking more about your video here in just a few minutes. But I would simply comment that it's one of the major purposes of the people on the dark side is to convince people they don't exist. And, of course, the tragedy is we don't talk about hell much anymore. We don't talk about the devil or Lucifer. We don't talk about eternal damnation. We've removed all of those concepts from the vernacular of the modern-day Christian. But it didn't happen by accident. It happened by intent. Because, of course, as one devil once said, you know, once we can convince them we don't exist, at that point we'll have won. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Now, I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of this station. It's my views, the views of our guest, and today we have Chris Pinto. If you're out there across America and you'd like to call us, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we're talking with Chris today about a wonderful video he's made, and it's called Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. And he was telling us that he really got into this after seeing a film on rock and roll and suddenly becoming aware of the fact that there really are satanic forces at work within our society. So why don't you pick up this talk from there?
Well, Dr. Stan, the thing that really stunned me about the presentation that I saw initially, I guess whenever I had read prophecies in the Bible or seen various films, movies, or whatever, concerning, you know, Satan and the Antichrist, and that one day this Antichrist figure will come and he'll rule the world and so on, I guess I had always thought that perhaps it would happen by osmosis, you know, that it would just happen and nobody would really know that it was happening. And the idea that there were people in the world who actually knew or actually believed in this Antichrist figure But like a Lester Crowley, he's a classic example. He's mentioned in this video I was describing. Crowley read the Book of Revelation. Now, when I read the Book of Revelation, or when you read it, we're thinking about, you know, we're compelled by God's Word. We're thinking about the second coming of Jesus, and we're really swept away with the glory of God. But when Aleister Crowley read the Book of Revelation, according to his own testimony, he became fascinated with Satan, became fascinated with Mystery Babylon, and with the idea of the beast, or Antichrist, and actually wanted to work to bring these dark powers to come to pass.
And there really are people out there like Crowley who considered himself the most evil man in the world. He called himself the Beast, and he gave himself the number 666. Crowley led a large movement, and it still exists today, even though he's long since dead. You go up on his website, go up and look up Aleister Crowley on the internet, and you'll find websites dealing with Crowleyism, and he has, of course, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of followers today. Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this afternoon is Chris Prentover, talking about his wonderful new video, which I think is must-seeing for everybody who wants to understand what's really going on and wants to, of course, do what we are told to do, and that is to be the watchman on the wall, to warn others about what's happening, and in the process, hopefully, we'll prepare Christians for what lies ahead. Others will bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ when they understand what this is about, which is why I do what I do 5 hours a day. But pick up the story from there, Chris.
Well, I began to, it was a really stunning thing to see various artists. And I had spent years of my life, you know, as an artist, as an actor and a writer and sometimes a director, working on secular projects at an independent level, trying to, you know, pursue the dream of becoming one day rich and famous as a filmmaker and so on. But now I was seeing artists, many of them musicians who I admired, who were working so hard and devoting their whole lives to this dark and evil cause. And many of them, just through their writings, their poetry, and even their music, revealed that they actually knew what they were doing, that they knew that they were serving the powers of darkness. And we're trying to bring about this this new age or new eon of Satan, as they called it, and that they were conducting this satanic revolution to turn the world over, to turn it away from God and turn it over to Lucifer or Satan.
And you know, we see this in what's happening here at Christmas time, where they've taken the Christ out of Christmas, and so many of our programs, as last night, for instance, on the ER, dwelt with just a totally discouraging, despondent program. In fact, at the end of the program, there was no joy of Christmas at all. You felt chronically depressed, which was exactly what they intended to do. They want to take the joy out of Christmas, as they want to destroy any relic of Christianity here in America today. But the average individual can't understand that even our television programs can be used to push this philosophy into our hearts and into our minds.
Yeah, it's very true, Dr. Stan, and with the atheist agenda moving across America right now, where they're trying to pull all evidence of God out of our schools, out of our courtrooms, even making it, I hear various reports. I was listening to Dave Hunt and Tom McMahon the other day on the radio, and they were talking about a child in school who bowed his or her head in prayer and ended up being reproved for it by a teacher and then suspended from the school. We've got this kind of thing going on. Of course, there's the judge in Alabama who was defending his right to have the Ten Commandments there in the courthouse, and he's standing up for that. And of course, now they're saying that it's unconstitutional, even though the idea of removing God from our system of society here in America is not really what the Founding Fathers had in mind, at least from the research that I've done. Men like Jedediah Morse wrote in the mid-1800s, talking about how we owe the liberty that we enjoy here in America. He said, we owe a great debt to the kindness of Christianity, he said. And as William T. Still reports in his book on the New World Order, that this was the prevailing view of most of the colonists in early America, that they believed that they were enjoying their freedom because of the principles of Christianity. And there were, I even read a quote the other day on the internet from Patrick Henry, who had supposedly said, according to this one website, that we must never forget that America was built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, there are certain founding fathers who were involved in things that I think were unbiblical, and so I don't completely hold the view that America was built as a Christian nation, but it seems very clear that Christian thought and principle were not far from the minds of the people who came to this country and who founded our government.
Well, we know, for instance, studying the decisions of the state Supreme Court justices and their decisions repeatedly, they held that America was a Christian nation. And in the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States in 1892, the United States Supreme Court gave 86 reasons why the United States was a Christian nation. So up until 50 years ago, everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation. And then as these dark forces began to work here within our society, they gradually, little bit by little bit, like a thief at night, gradually eroded the great basic Christian precepts, because they realized that if they could destroy Christianity, they could destroy this nation. For as Whitaker Chambers had said so well, human societies, like human beings, live by faith and die when faith dies. And that's what it's all about.
I guess my questions about some of the early beginnings, while I do agree generally with what you're saying, men like Thomas Jefferson have been a bit of a puzzle for me. And that's something that I encountered when doing the research for Megiddo, and that's why we talk about Jefferson. And that Jefferson, who seemed to support this Illuminati globalist revolution that began in Bavaria and then went into France, and there's evidence that Jefferson himself supported or helped to foment the French Revolution. And then, of course, Jefferson rewrote the New Testament and had certain contemptuous things to say about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And yet, of course, if you read his writings, which I have, and the total YA, he said, "I am a Christian, the only way Christ would have us." I'm not sure he believed in the divinity of Jesus Christ, but he believed in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and he was writing from a Christian world perspective. And when he penned those words about nature's God and nature's law, he was simply quoting John Locke, who, of course, was a Christian living in the 1600s. And when he talked about all men being created equal, he was quoting Samuel Rutherford, who was a Christian minister in Scotland. And when he talked about all men being created equal, once again, endowed with certain inalienable rights, among which were life, liberty, and property. Once again, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Once again, he was quoting Locke. So he was writing from a Christian world perspective. Whether he believed in the divinity of Christ is not as important as the fact that the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, there were 56 of them, of whom at least 51 were Christians and two more were Catholics.
It's why I've said that, because I've gone back and forth in the research, and there are some people who hold an extreme view that, you know, America was never a Christian nation, and then some who argue that it completely was, and I generally agree with what you're saying, just from the research that I've done.
Well, see, the problem is, Chris, there were two forces. There was the occult force here,
right?
And then there was the Christian force. And unless people understand that the occult force has always been here, working behind the scenes and doing everything they could to undermine the Christian force. At one time, it was predominantly Christian and minor occult. Today, it is predominantly occult. And, of course, the Christian influence is waning rapidly.
Yeah, I very much agree with you. As Jesus, in the parable of the tares and the wheat, I thought of this as I was doing my research. He tells us that the tares grow among the wheat until the time of the end. And it seems to have been that way with early America. And it would also seem that, as you suggest, the tares seem to be growing or multiplying greatly in this country today, much more so than the wheat. But, of course, only the Lord knows.
Well, Bill still is a personal friend, but he and I disagree on the influence of the occult. He thinks it was much stronger than I believe it was. I believe it was here. I believe it was certainly, as you point out so well, influencing the formation of the Great Seal of the United States, always here working in the background, mm-hmm. preparing for the time when they would take over and have America lead the world into the New World Order, the New World Religion, exactly as is taking place today.
Yeah, I would also add to that, Dr. Stan, that if America had been predominantly an occult nation, then these secret societies would not have needed to be so secretive, you know. But they've had to hide, many of them, behind a mask of Christianity, because Christianity, or at least a Christian worldview, has been predominantly the thinking of early America.
And that's a very, very valid point, I think. They wouldn't have needed to have been secret if they had been the predominant force.
Yeah. That was one of the conclusions that I came to. Is like, why are these guys hiding? You know, if America was just a pagan nation, well, then why would the pagans need to hide behind these secret orders?
And, of course, in your video, you bring this out so well, and you point out all the people who've been talking about this New World Order, this was Adolf Hitler, this was Gorbachev, this was leaders of the United States, the father of the current president, pushing this idea of a New World Order. And, of course, with that, even though not stated, is always the New World Religion, where all religions join together, and we all worship the same God, and we all worship the same God as the Muslims. I don't believe that for one minute, but there are leaders who would try to convince us that is indeed the case.
Yeah, in fact, that's I found it very interesting studying the religion of Masonry, which we've talked about, and we cover the religion of Masonry in the documentary, but how the religion of Masonry is the very same as this ecumenical, you know, one world religion it's sometimes called interfaith that's taking place, and as Masonic writers have said, the Mason bows down to every altar, you know, and worships before every shrine, and that the name that he prays to is unimportant, for he supposedly seeks the light and not the bearer.
But, of course, they never tell you what the light is, and it's only when you get very deeply into Masonic literature and you begin to put together the various clues and connect the dots, you begin to find out that the source of the light is Lucifer, of course, who is the devil. And if you study Masonry, as we have, but anyway, this is a fascinating, fascinating video, and you will want to get it, you want to watch it, and understand that it challenges you to be involved, not to sit on the sidelines, but to be involved in this eternal battle, which is coming to a culmination as we speak today. Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you've got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex, at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention that we carry the Berkey water filters. We carry the big Berkey water filter, which is made out of stainless steel. And if you put the water in the top, it goes down to the ceramic filters, comes out the bottom, and it removes most of the pesticides and herbicides and bacteria and the bad taste. And a lot of people just like to have the water filters around so they don't have to feel that they have to have bottled water. They can get pure water, or good water, drinkable water, with most of the impurities removed. Simply using the big Berkey. Now, you can see these on our website at radioliberty.com. You'll see the pictures of them. And of course, if you buy them through us, you get a free video or four tape set we produced. And they run $239.95 plus $10 shipping. The big Berkey is a standard. It's been used for 150 years. But it isn't available in California or Iowa. It's available in every other state. However, here in California, you can get a Berkey light, and it's made of Lexan, so it's transparent, so you can see the water levels, and that's an advantage. And then the filters themselves are what we call black Berkey filters. They really work ever so much more efficiently than the regular filters, but then they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, or four years if you're just not using it very much, but every 2 years if you're using it quite regularly, whereas the ceramic filters can be cleaned repeatedly and boiled and used over and over again. So there are advantages to both of them. We actually have the Berkey light because they're only $199.95, and they do a far better job of taking out the impurities of every sort. And then the one thing they do not take out is fluoride. And if you have fluoridated water, why, there's special post filters you can put on the bottom that will take that out. You have to replace those, however, every 6 months. But they will take out the fluoride and arsenic. And although the black Berkey will take out the MTBE, the other filters won't, but the post filters do. So if you'd be interested, go to the website, and then, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest this afternoon is Chris Pinto, and he's telling us about his new video, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Stan. Well, the video, as you know, is a little over 2 hours long, and we've been so far pretty pleased with the response that we've gotten from people who have seen it, that the video itself, even though it's a little bit longer than 2 hours, some of the comments have been that it's that it moves along pretty well and it's not difficult to sit through, which was one of the real issues that we addressed as we were developing the work. I was concerned about the length of it. And of course, with the material being so in-depth, a lot of the research, we use a lot of quotes talking about God's prophecies, what God says in the Bible about the difference between true and false prophecies, and in showing God's true prophecies and those prophecies pertaining to this one-world empire that the Bible says will come to pass, an empire ultimately ruled by a single ruler that many researchers refer to as Antichrist, also called the Beast in the Book of Revelation.
Well, I will tell you that I think it is one of the most fascinating experiences, because we sat through that for the full 2 hours, and my wife didn't even want to go get dinner. She wanted to see the rest of it, and so did I. A fascinating experience, well done. The music is beautifully done, the graphics, the pictures. It is the most professionally done movie that we have on this subject, and I've seen dozens and dozens of them, so I really congratulate you. It's an exciting film, and I think every Christian needs to see this to understand what we're up against.
Well, it was designed as a witnessing tool to demonstrate and to show we've had Christians make the comment to us that while they've known these various subjects individually, seeing them all brought together in one video like this gives a fresh perspective on it, and that's what we were hoping to achieve, and so we're thankful to God for that. And also, it's a great witnessing tool, we hope, for unbelievers as well, for people who, you know, maybe if they hear you talking about prophecy or talking about the New World Order and so on, to sort of we tried to pull it out of the conspiracy realm and into a biblical and a historical realm. And so we were careful to try and document everything to show that these things are contained in the pages of history, that it's not just rumors or so on that people are talking about, but there is documentation, official government documents, historical documents, things that are there if you know where to look for them.
And, of course, you point out that there was a master plan for three great wars, the First World War, the Second World War, and the Third World War, which we've already entered. Of course, the average American doesn't know that, but I believe that we're in the early stages of this World War III that was prophesied almost 150 years ago, 180 years ago, something like that. And you go into the background of these things that were written out, these things were planned. Everything that's going on is planned, because if you look at things really logically, nothing is logical. If you understand that it is part of a master plan, then it all makes sense.
Yeah, it's very true. That the plan that you're referring to, we show in the documentary, was set down by a man named Giuseppe Mazzini, who was the head of Italian masonry, and he wrote this letter to Albert Pike back in 1871. And he and Pike together, I guess, came up with this plan for three world wars that were supposedly to bring about, ultimately, this new world order. We have William T. Still. He's the only... I'd heard about this plan for a number of years through various sources and wasn't sure what to make of it. And then William T. Still presents some documentation for it in his book, and, of course, talks about how this letter was on display in the British Museum for a number of years. So then we've got Still in the video there, and he's explaining the plan and so on. The Third World War is supposed to erupt between the Muslims and the Jews in the Middle East, which, of course, you know, sheds a whole different light on what's happening in that part of the world and what has been happening for more than half a century now. One of the interesting quotes that we see early in the video comes from, comes from the head of, who's the lead Democrat? Who's the, Richard Gephardt. And Gephardt talks about how he says, quote, "We can see through the present shadows of war in the Middle East to a new world order." And it's a curious quote until you consider this plan alongside of it, and then it makes you wonder, you know, what is he really talking about?
We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Mr. Chris Pinto, and we'll welcome your calls. And I'll ask Ben to hold on through the this break, and we'll be back here in just 3 moments. Set Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America: the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. You might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention some of the other things we carry here, which we think are important. One of the items, of course, is Phonopoly. It's a board game played like Monopoly. Well, it's really 5 board games and 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. But there's been an organized effort to dumb down children so they couldn't read phonetically. A lot of children can look at words, but they can't pronounce the words if they're more than 3 or 4 syllables, because they've never been taught phonics. And phonicsopoly or phonopoly is designed to teach children phonics so that they can read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And in 16 hours, you can undo the harm that has been done by the government schools to the minds and hearts and very souls of our children. So if you'd like, of course, to learn more about phonopoly, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-MORE. Most of these programs, $3, $6, $800. This is $139.95, and we recommend it to you. And then we also carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that a lot of the people who use these products really swear by them, and some of them say they help their upper intestinal tract, and some say it helps the lower intestinal tract, and that would be the neutralizing solution. And then we have people who tell us it helps their acne and it helps their rashes. And I personally use the Miracle 2 moisturizing soap because it keeps me from having a rash. And it also softens the skin. I've used it for, well over 2 years now, and we're really sold on it. My wife uses it for cleaning the counters. She says it can clean the counters while the ants don't come back very quickly. Some people use it to put on their flowers. They say they grow better. I don't know. You're going to have to try these things yourself. But if you'd like to learn about Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Chris Pinto. And on the line from Salinas, waiting patiently on the line, is Ben. Hi, Ben. How are you, Ben?
Good afternoon, Dr. Stan. It's glad to hear your voice again.
Well, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I have a two-part question. First of all, we see with the PNAC neo-Nazis that we're being dragged by Mr. Bush into this World War III. Now, my first question, rhetorically, why are good Americans on both sides of the so-called liberal or conservative line letting this happen to us and our national treasury, our taxpayer assets? Why are they letting that happen? And the second question, and I'll take my answer off the air to let other people call, is Muammar Gaddafi said today he was willing to let us come in and inspect and inspect and inspect. Now, what's going to happen when this guy prostrates himself in front of us, lets us go in and inspect until we're blue in the face to find nothing, and we invade the guy anyway? Isn't at that point all hell going to break loose?
A very provocative question. Thanks for so much, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, do you want to offer any thoughts on that, Chris, or shall I take that?
You know what? Go ahead, Dr. Stan. I'm eager to hear what you have to say.
Well, I think that there's a spiritual blindness among our people here now. It's a very embarrassing situation when I find that the only people who are really speaking out against this war are usually our people on the far left. And I don't want to be on the same side as Barbara Streisand and some of the others, but when they're right, I'm going to say this war, we never should have gone into a war with Iraq because this had nothing to do with terrorism, and Saddam Hussein was not involved in 9/11, and we had put Saddam Hussein into power. He was involved with the CIA back in the 1950s. If you want the documentation on that, we have it from a book written over a decade ago. And, of course, if you doubt that we financed Saddam all during the 1980s, and we gave him the okay to go into Kuwait, and then, of course, in the 1990s, repeatedly when people, the military, tried to overthrow him, we betrayed them. That's covered in a book called See No Evil. But the fact we financed Saddam Hussein, we gave him the chemical and biological weapons we're so worried about. Just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be glad to send you the article out of the Washington Post that goes into this, and we have so much documentation on it. So here's a man we created. Now we've gone in and we've killed an awful lot of Iraqis, and we've captured the man who we put in power and we financed and backed. What's wrong with this picture? And nothing is as it appears to be, and I really feel that there is a spiritual blindness that is blinding the Christians who should be concerned about the war, and at least we have those some people who are really speaking out, and I hope that more people will begin asking, what is this really all about? And I think that the video we're talking about is going into the spiritual aspect of it, because you can't understand anything going on today unless you understand the spiritual forces at work. And when you see this video, we may very well answer some of the questions that Ben raised. As far as Omar Gaddafi, I think the plan is going to be to invade Libya. I don't know what's going to happen if he gives us ready access and opens his country to us. The reason he's doing it is that he knows the plan is to invade there. I would hope that we do not invade, because, of course, it's not going to solve the problem. But who knows what's going to happen? Well, let's right now go to David, who's calling us from Gonzales. Hi, David. Do you have a question or comment?
Good afternoon. I have a comment, gentlemen.
Oh, go ahead.
I heard a couple of weeks ago on K-Love, which is a local Christian radio station, they were saying that George Bush, President George Bush, was saying that the Muslim God is the same God of the Judeo-Christian Bible, which we don't agree with, of course. I just wanted you guys to comment on that.
Do you want to comment on that at all, Chris?
Yeah, that's one thing about Bush. I haven't heard President Bush speak at all on the New World Order specifically, although he's mentioned certain things about, you know, globalism and unifying principles and so on, and, you know, building this worldwide coalition, which seems to point in that direction. But at a theological level, he has a number of times equated, he's referred to the God of Islam as God, as though it were the same as the God of the Bible, which he seems to represent as being his own faith. I've even read, I was reading a report online the other day, that he has now gone to a Shinto Buddhist shrine with Mrs. Bush, and that they prayed and worshiped there as well. And one of the things that we show in our video, we don't really talk about the president, but we do show that his wax image is contained in a Masonic museum here in Los Angeles, California. And President Bush has openly admitted to being a member of the Skull and Bone Society, which has Masonic affiliation. And again, the theology of Masonry is that the Mason can bow down to every altar. And so while I haven't heard him specifically speak on the New World Order, he's certainly supported the whole interfaith, one world religion agenda. And of course, the politics and the military movement that he's responsible for right now is all pushing this whole drive toward this one world system.
All right, I think that's as good an answer as I can give, David.
Okay.
I think that the Muslim God is an entirely different God.
Right.
This is the moon God, and the fact the president doesn't know that, I think, is very an embarrassment to this entire nation.
Okay, I'll hang up and let someone else call. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Thanks so much, David. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295 if you have a question. But we're talking with Chris Pinto about his wonderful video, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. And there's some magnificent pictures there and interviews with William Still and David Bay and Carol Matriciana and David Hunt, as they begin to pull together all the theology. And of course, some people call it a conspiracy. Other people simply call it the biblical story of what end times is to be. And I believe there is a organized effort to destroy Christianity or change its message here in the United States today. And I think they're doing an excellent job of actually deceiving Christians so they really can't see what's going on. Because, of course, of all the falderal and the other things that are happening. So how long has the video been out, Chris?
It's only been out now for a couple of weeks. It's going probably on its third week since we actually started sending it out to people like yourself, Dr. Stan, just to view it and hopefully get the word out about it. And we're still getting it up on various Internet sites. It's on VHS right now. We're in the process of developing a DVD version of it so that we can make it available to a wider market and hopefully inform people. The thing that we're really excited about with the video is while there's all of this frightening news about the New World Order, you know, my father, when he saw the tape, he commented that the second half, because the second hour is really on the New World Order, he thought was kind of scary. But the beautiful thing is that it's all the fulfillment of God's word and the prophecies that God said he would use to demonstrate to all the world that he is the one true God.
Well, I think that you would only be frightened if you weren't a Christian and realized that we are seeing God's plan fulfilled before us. And so that's really what makes the film so great. But the graphics on that, how did you learn to do those graphics?
I had initially thought to do some of the graphic things with like live actors and so on. But then when I weighed the cost, I started investigating these 3D animation programs. Found a very good one that was supposedly user-friendly, at least from the description, and spent about a year and a half learning how to use it. I'd been a graphic artist just with, you know, paints and paper and pen and that kind of thing, but just learning to translate that into a 3D graphic realm, because I wanted to be able to do some 3D animation of, you know, like the Watchmen from Ezekiel 33, and to do Mystery Babylon, and to do some things on Antichrist and the beast with, you know, seven heads and ten horns, and to come up with some interesting visuals to keep things moving forward and to really compel the audience to get excited about these prophecies, because I think God's prophecies are very exciting.
I agree with you totally, and you did a magnificent job with that, and you did a magnificent job with the music. I was especially impressed with the music, because music can affect the tone of a presentation, and you're sort of sitting there on the edge of your seat as the music and the sounds and the visuals come forward. It really has a tremendous impact.
I agree, and the reason I say it like that, I didn't write the music, obviously, but we found a great company called Smart Sound that has this kind of music available, and of course you can purchase, you know, limited rights to it for your work, and they have just a marvelous set of, you know, very powerful cinematic orchestral selections that I felt like captured the grandeur of this whole magnificent story that is unfolding upon the earth.
I think so too. Well, let's go to Troy, who's calling from Colorado. Hi, Troy. How you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing fine.
Good. I had a question here. At least, you know, you had an interview with on the 12th from the Sal.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I was curious, because I mean, even he has done, you know, some research, and I was just kind of, you know, interested. And of course, you had that agreement, I guess, back at the end of 2000, where there were three dissenters. You had Iraq, Syria, and Libya, and how all of a sudden we've already uprooted one, and we seem to be going after two other ones. I was just kind of curious of your comments on those, on that scenario.
Well, I think that is the plan. This is if you read General Wesley Clark's new book, Fighting Modern Wars, he will tell you that when he went to the Pentagon in November of the year 2001, he was told by high Pentagon officials that there was a plan, a five-year plan, to take out Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Iran, and the Sudan. And that was in addition to Iraq. So this is all laid out, a plan of long, long standing, having very little to do with what happened on 9/11. That was the excuse for carrying out the plan that was already underway and had been underway in the Pentagon planning for many years. Anything else, Troy?
No, thank you very much.
All right, fine. Thanks so much. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question. Our guest is Chris Pinto. His video is Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. And I might comment that we're carrying the video. We bought, I think, 20 of them, and I think most of them are gone already. It's going at a tremendous pace. It's certainly moving better than any video we've ever had, I think, except maybe for the Clifton Chronicles back in the early 1994-1995 era. But, I mean, this is a very, very important video, especially for what's going on today, because it puts everything into its perspective, not only from a spiritual, but from a political point of view. And you can't understand any of this unless you understand the long-range plans. And there's so many quotations from so many people here that have shaped the world in which we live today. Where did you get all of that footage of the Yalta conferences and FDR and Adolf Hitler and...
You know what, I spent a considerable amount of time doing research and found various companies that have these old documentaries. And the one that I'm pretty sure I got the Yalta footage from was an old documentary from probably the 1970s that was on U.S. foreign relations. It was like a 30-minute documentary, and I purchased a limited rights to it to use and whatnot. It had we show a little bit of JFK, just a brief thing with part of his funeral service there. The stuff from Yalta, the things with Henry Kissinger during the 70s, and we've got some United Nations footage and some really great. This is back before video, so this is film stock footage from that era. And of course, the Yalta footage, I was just so amazed and counted it a blessing to find it when I went through there and I saw this. I was like, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. And really became convicted that we need to talk about Yalta in this video. And of course, Yalta is not just for New World Order researchers, but it's something I've been reading about for years, even among New Agers like Alice Bailey, who writes about it from a very mystical, spiritual perspective, that it was changing the world and so on. And of course, I didn't really understand why until I began examining the politics of it and doing a little bit of research on FDR and the things that they've said about FDR in terms of, there are those who talk about Pearl Harbor and that FDR knew about it and helped to engineer it and so on. They had a documentary on the History Channel called Sacrifice at Pearl Harbor, where they basically said that FDR had known about the attack on Pearl Harbor, but he allowed it to happen as a necessary sacrifice so America would get involved in the war and go and stop the spread of Nazism and these concentration camps and things like that. But the counter argument to that is that while FDR was opposing Hitler, he was supporting communism and Joseph Stalin through the Lend-Lease program, and Stalin had been with Hitler in the invasion of Poland that started the war. Stalin had begun his own genocide programs back in the 1930s. He was invading other countries. And so why would FDR oppose Hitler and then support another dictator like Stalin, who in the long run ended up butchering, as we show in the documentary, far more people than Hitler has ever been credited for?
Well, of course, nothing as it appears to be, and unless you understand the spiritual behind the political and historical, you can't understand anything. That is, of course, is why I think the video is so important, because you have to look at things from a spiritual point of view, not from what happened, but what are the spiritual forces behind what happened.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that we try to show, is that this movement, this drive, is very spiritual, and the men who are behind it, they are, as Copan Albancelli said, they are animated with an implacable hatred against the Christian God, and they seek to do, all that the Christian God forbids. That's what they want to do, and everything that he commands, they, quote, shun like fire. And that seems to be the driving force behind this, march to Armageddon or World War III or this one world empire that they're seeking to bring about.
And what people don't understand is this is what the United Nations is all about. This is what UNESCO is all about. UNICEF is not about children. It's about an international agency that will go along with this whole agenda. People have to begin to put the pieces together, the dots together, to begin to understand what we're really up against. Well, Chris, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners, other than they want to get your video?
Well, I would hope that they would call you and get a copy of Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, and just learn more about these things, to be convicted about God's prophecies in their own life and how God uses prophecy to be strengthened in their walk as Christians and as believers, and also to turn around and to convict others. These are exciting times that we live in.
Exciting times to know the Lord. Thank you so much, Chris. It's been a real pleasure having you with us, and we'll look forward to our program next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stanton. Let me just mention the Institute of the Constitution, which is a program to train you and your friends about the Christian history of this nation. The Institute of the Constitution is a series of 12 half-hour lectures by Dr. John Eidsmo, who is a professor of constitutional law at Faulkner University. And then there are a couple of other talks by David Barton, and there's a book that will tell you how to put together a program, the questions to ask, the answers to the questions. There's sort of a turnkey educational program for you and your friends to teach you about the foundations of American freedom. It teaches to teach you that we are a republic. We're not a democracy. They've been lying to you, and they've been lying to you about what America was about. And one of the best investments you could make is in preserving this wonderful country that we inherited from generations past. But we can't preserve it unless we understand our heritage. And it's all laid out in the Institute of the Constitution program. You can go to their website, IOTC Online. That's IOTCOnline.com. Or you can call them at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And set up an Institute of the Constitution in your community, in your church. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your children. You owe it to America to commit yourself in this spiritual battle for the survival of this country. And then let me point out, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, because it will give you an overview of what's really going on in the world and the spiritual forces at work. And you can get my book by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And you'll certainly want to order Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. That's Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. I think you'll find it's the most exciting video we have that I've seen in a long time to help you to explain what's going on to others. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time we have to mention Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America, we do hope that many of you will decide you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. It's as simple as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to have one of our newsletters, give us a call. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you a newsletter free of charge. We hope that many of you will really want to get this video we've been talking about, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. And it's 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Really, you'll be enthralled by it. And then we're carrying another excellent video that goes into the background of what's happening in the American churches today, as 4,000 churches are entering into something called the 40 Days of Purpose. And of course, later they're planning on another 15,000 churches going into this. And it sounds really great. I mean, we want to find out what God's purpose is for us. But it's really a matter of learning how to manipulate the people in the church to go along with an agenda. And what's the agenda? Well, that's why you need to get the video called Diaprax. Diaprax. And if you ask for it, we'll send you a copy of the material that Dr. Klink has written up. As he studied this, he was in one of these churches, and he's analyzed what's really behind it. And wonderful people are in these churches, but they don't understand it's all based on mental games of changing their attitude towards God and towards individualism, and really redefining the nature of God and redefining the nature of the church and of the music of the church. Diaprax is must listening for anybody out there in our society who is concerned about what's happening to America. Because, of course, when faith dies, why our society dies, and as Whitaker Chambers said, human societies, like human beings, live by faith and die when faith dies. Freedom and religion cannot be separated. Destroy religion, you destroy freedom. And that is why Christianity is under attack. That's why Christmas is under attack today, and why you're not seeing the programs on television today about the manger, about Christ's birth and resurrection, because they need to destroy the Christian foundation of America if they're to take this country into the New World Order and the New World Religion. We hope that many of you out there will want to go to our website at radioliberty.com. Now, if you want to know our telephone number, it's 1-800-544-8927. But if you go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, you can actually listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day. And you won't get anything accomplished, but you can listen 5 hours a day. And you can even get these little headsets that allow you to walk all over the, that allow you to move all over the house. You don't have to sit in front of the computer. You can get a lot of things done. But we want you to get educated so that you can educate others. And after 5 hours, you still want to hear more of our programs. Many of them are archived there, and you can listen to them for the second time. And they'll archive for about 6 weeks. And we encourage you not only to listen yourself, but to tell others about our website, because that's how our audience is growing all across America, and it really is growing. You'd be excited if you could sit in our home and talk to the people from one end of the country to the other who are hearing our programs and beginning to understand how they've really deceived us, how they control both political parties, how they control the liberals and the conservatives, the right, the left, the Republicans and the Democrats, making mockery out of our concept of elected representatives. And then, of course, we ask you to seriously consider praying for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers. But revival is so important, because if America doesn't turn back to God, can you think of any reason why God should really bless America again? And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, till Monday now, at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.